Take God's word this morning, if you would, and turn to 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter number 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13. I want to notice two verses with you to begin with, but there'll be other verses that we notice as well. 1 Samuel chapter 13, and we want to look at verse 13 and 14. Notice with me, if you would, what the Bible says here. And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now will the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." Underscore there in your thinking in verse number 14, the phrase, "a man after his own heart." Has God captured your heart? Let me ask that again. Has God captured your heart? Jesus taught us in the Gospels, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind." What was Jesus teaching? He's saying, I want God to capture your heart. When you think about this morning, we are introduced in the Bible to a man who lived about 3,000 years ago. And his name was David. David was from a little quaint town called Bethlehem. He was selected as a king at a very young age. In fact, the selection process went something like this. Samuel, who we learn about in this text of Scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 13, he had gone to Jesse, and he went before Jesse and said, "Do you have any sons?" And Jesse begins to bring sons before Samuel, because Samuel was looking for someone to anoint as king over Israel. And so Samuel goes through the process. Ah, here's the guy. He's built tough. He's built strong. He's the man. And the Lord said, "No, that's not the man. You look on the outward appearance, but I look on the heart." So he goes through all of Jesse's sons, and then he asks him, he says, "Jesse, do you have any more sons?" He says, "Yes, I have one, but he's just a shepherd boy." He says, "Bring him." And so he was brought into the presence of Samuel, and the Lord said, "This is the one. This is the man that I have to lead the children of Israel and to be the king over Israel." And so the Bible says that David was just a young boy. He was just, in fact, the Bible uses the word, he was ruddy. You farmers remember, know this term. He was just a runt. Back when my dad had a small farm, I had a special place, believe it or not, in my heart for the runts. I did. They weren't the pick of the litter, but I just had a special place in my heart for the runts. That was sort of like David. But David was selected of the Lord to lead the children of Israel, to take them and be the king over Israel. In fact, you may not know this, but more has been written in the Bible about David than any other Bible character outside of Jesus Christ. In fact, 66 chapters of the Word of God are dedicated to the life of David. So, why all the focus upon David? Because sometimes when people think about David, especially if you know your Bible at all, people have a strong tendency to go to the black marks on David's life, to think about how he had committed adultery, and to think about how he had someone murdered, and had all of that set up, and people think, you know, that's where their mind immediately goes to. But God says of David in this particular chapter that he is a man after mine own heart. Now, let me ask you this, and I want you to think about this as we go through the message. How do you think your life would be different and better if every day your number one goal was to stop pursuing success and fame and money and influence, and to pursue God's own heart instead? For David, yes, he became king. For David, yes, he was a great warrior. But David was a man that God noted as a man who was after mine own heart. His heart was captured by God. So what does this look like? Well, notice with me this morning, three truths that stand out that when your heart is captured by God will be true. First of all, when your heart is captured by God, you will walk with God faithfully. David lived this out in his life. David, in fact, had a strong love, not only for God, but he had a strong love for the Word of God. You read the book of Psalms, and you will see over and over his great desire and love for the Word of God. And if you're going to walk faithfully with God, two things will be true. One, you've got to love God's Word. Psalm 119, the psalmist said this, I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. And then in the same chapter, he said this, oh, how I love thy law. Now understand something. David in his day did not have all of the Bible that we have in our day. But what he had, he said, I love it. I think about it. I meditate upon it. I read it. I study it. It tells me of who God is. And David loved the Word of God, which enabled him to walk with God faithfully. You see, when you love God's Word, you put God where He belongs, and you put you where you belong. You see God in a great focus, and you see yourself, I see myself as one before the God of the universe, the God who is my Heavenly Father. I now can walk humbly with Him. The Bible tells me to walk humbly with God. And so David walked humbly with God, but he had a great love for God's Word that enabled him to walk faithfully with God. But also, he lived out God's Word. If you are going to walk faithfully with God, you've got to love God's Word, and you've got to live God's Word. Listen to this verse. If you're taking notes, you can write it down. Acts chapter 13, verse 22 says this, and when he had removed him, he raised up to them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, now listen, which shall fulfill or do all my will. So David not only loved God's word, but David lived God's word. Now sometimes people have, and you are one of them, you have a desire to learn more about the Word of God. May I ask you why? Why do you want to learn more about God's Word? It's a good question. Well, you could probably give some answers to that, but I would say that one of the answers ought to be this, so that I can better obey God. David love God's word, but from that, he lived it out. He tried his best to live a life pleasing to the Lord. He tried to live out God's word in such a way to please him. And God said, here is a man that's after my own heart. He is loving my word. He is living out my word. Now think about this. If you love God's word, you will live God's word. Jesus said this in the Gospels, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. The book of James said this, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. So yes, every day I read God's word. It's a practice of mine, it's a discipline of mine. The challenge to me when I read the Word of God is not to read it to look for sermons, but to read it to feed my soul. And so I really have to, that's a challenge for me. I know you won't struggle with that, but that's what I struggle with. But having said that, my prayer when I come to the Word of God is this, Lord, give me understanding so that what I understand I can apply in my life and live out today. Because I don't want to just be a reader of the word, I want to be a doer of the word. David was a man who walked faithfully with God. He got to a point where he loved God's word and he lived out God's word. And when you love God's word will be in your heart. And when God's word is in your heart, he will capture your heart. How do I know? Because in Psalm 40 and verse number 8, David said this, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. He says, because it's there, my feet are walking in obedience to your will. My feet are going in the direction that you want me to go, either to the right or to the left or forward or just stand still. Because I'm in your word, I know what your design is and what your will is for my life. So when God captures your heart, you walk with God faithfully. But there's a second truth. When God captures your heart, you wait on God patiently. How many of you are patient people? Okay, nobody? Nobody's patient. This young man back here is saying somewhat. So patient. But when God captures your heart, you wait on him patiently. In fact, when you follow after God's own heart, you obey what he says and do it only when he directs you to do it. Saul needed to learn this lesson. Look in the text now, 1 Samuel chapter 13, and notice with me, if you would, begin at verse number 8. But before I read verse number 8, go up to verse number 4. And all Israel heard Saul say that had smitten a garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also was had an abomination with the Philistines. And the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. Now remember, Saul was the first king of Israel. And God's original plan was not for Israel to have a king. He wanted to be king. He wanted to be ruler over Israel. But Israel wanted to be like all the other nations who had kings. So God granted their request, allowed them to have a king. First one was Saul. So that said, we find that Saul's in the position of being king at this point. He's now going to lead them in battle. Look at verse 5. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash eastward from Bethaven. So you've got this great army of people assembled with this Philistine army. And so Saul, if you would, he only gathers, notice in verse number 2, he has 2,000. And then in we find the rest of the people, about another 1,000. So he's got an army of about 3,000 people. And the Philistines have a huge army. Numerically, it looks like Israel is going to get wiped out. So what does Saul do? Look in verse number 8. And he tarried 7 days. Now you say, why did he tarry for 7 days? Why didn't he just go right in and start with the battle? Well, we find in chapter 10, Samuel, the priest. The priest, designed by God, was the only one allowed to offer burnt offerings and so forth. Not the king. So in chapter 10, you learn that Samuel told Saul, you tarry 7 days until I get there. You wait until that time to do anything. So now verse number 8, and he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. And Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and a peace offering. And he offered the burnt offering. Now you may say, well, what's the big deal about that? I mean, the priest hadn't come. So Saul takes matters into his own hands. Ha-ha, that's the problem. Saul was acting out of a place that he did not have any authority to act out of. He was not permitted by God, how God had it designed, that only the priests were to handle the offerings. not the king. No matter how bad it got, he was to wait on Samuel. And so Saul got impatient. And as he got impatient then, we find that the kingdom as a result was torn away from him. God says, hold it, I'm not going to allow you to be king and establish the kingdom anymore with you. I'm going to go after a man after my own heart. And that's where David steps in. But in the context, we see that Saul was definitely impatient. When you refuse, when I refuse to wait on God, we simply are saying, I don't trust God. I will admit to you, church, that sometimes one of the hardest things in the Christian life is to wait on God. You pray about something and we want answers when? We want answers now, just the way we're built, the way we're wired. Have you heard the old phrase, good things come to those who wait? Well, if Saul would have just waited as he was supposed to, good things could have continued to come to him. But he was impatient. He didn't trust God. And how many times have you and I experienced heartache because we wouldn't wait on God? You see, when you take life, and when I take life into my own hands, I take God's hands of blessing off of my life. But do you know what I want more than anything? I want God's blessing on my life. But when I don't wait on Him, when I just move ahead and lean on my own understanding, my own reasoning, sometimes God will allow me to go down that path and I'll experience heartache along the way and kick myself for doing so because I simply should have just waited. Because God is never late and God is never early. God has His own schedule. Do you know that? He does. And Saul was impatient. And he took matters into his own hands. He offered the offering, and he shouldn't have done that. Now we find, notice with me if you would, Samuel now comes, and look at verse number 11. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me. Now it's amazing, when you study Saul's life, how often he was quick to put the blame on someone else for his failures. This is a classic. Look at this. Because I saw the people were scattered. That was true. He wasn't telling a lie. And then he says, and that thou camest not within the days appointed. And so Samuel, it's your fault as well. It's the people, they're scattering. And Samuel, it's your fault. You didn't come when you said you were going to come. And so I saw the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now unto me to Gilgal, and I have made supplication unto the Lord, and I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. I don't know if Saul was expecting Samuel to say, hey, I get it. Sorry I was late. Should have been here when I said I was going to be here. No, there was none of that. Look at his response. Look at verse number 13. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done what? Foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now will the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. What a sad price to pay because he was simply impatient. He could have had God's favor and God's blessing upon his life moving forward. But he blew it simply because he became impatient. Now David was just the opposite. If Saul was impatient, David was in a state of trusting God. You will find in Psalm 27 and verse number 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. David said, wait on God, wait on God, wait on God. Be of good courage, wait on the Lord, wait on him. Did David know something about waiting on God? He sure did. I referred you earlier to a time when he was anointed as king. But he didn't get to that throne, get this now, until 15 years later. You don't really see that right away, but if you study the passages of Scripture, you will find here's what he had to do in those 15 years. He waited on Saul. He went to the kingdom. Saul was the king. And Saul got to a point where he hated David, because David was able to be used of God to bring down the 9-foot Goliath. And he was able to go up and chop his head off with the giant sword and carry the head of that giant around. And the people said, Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his tens of thousands. Saul's now jealous. And so when David would come into the throne area, there were javelins thrown at him by Saul. He wanted to do away with David. David eventually had to just get out of there and run for his life, and that's when the friendship between Jonathan and David took place. That was just one of the things that David had to encounter in that 15-year wait. But then there finally came the moment when Abner said, you want David as king, now then do it. And David then became king, but not till 15 years later. David knew what it was like when he said, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. David was a man whose heart was captured by God. He walked with God faithfully. He waited on God patiently. But then notice this. When your heart is captured by God, you witness to God truthfully. Two things that stand out in this passage. One is Saul's lack of character. Saul, in the context here, we find in verse number 11 and 12 of chapter 13, we find that, again, he's playing the blame game. The people, and you didn't come, and so I forced myself, and the Philistines were coming in around us, and so forth. Saul just lacked character in his life. Yes, he was the leader, but people had a hard time following Saul because he just lacked character in his life. But just the opposite with David. David was a man who was trustworthy. David was a man of integrity. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 78. I want to show you three verses. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 78, I want you to start with me at verse number 70, and we'll go down through verse number 72. I want you to notice particularly verse 72, but let's set it up. Notice what it says in Psalm 78, verse 70. He chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. So God chose David while he was a shepherd boy. Verse 71, from following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. Catch this next verse. So he fed them according to the what? Integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. So David overall was a man known for the integrity of his heart. He was a man who could lead with integrity. In fact, if you don't have integrity, you have nothing. Think about that. If you don't have integrity, you have nothing. What does integrity mean? It simply means to be complete, to be whole. Integrity, someone has said, is what you are when no one else is looking. And here's what I want you to think about. You can fool me, I can fool you, but none of us can fake it with God. Wow. None of us. Not that we're trying, but what I'm saying is there's not a one of us that can ever hide anything from God. There's not a one of us that can fake anything with God. God knows the intents of our heart, and he looked upon this man named David, and he said, here is a man after my own heart. He has walked in the integrity of his heart. Here is a man of character. Here is a man who just loves me with all of his heart. And here was a man with strong integrity. And so David was a man after God's own heart. His heart was captured by God. God chooses who he uses, and he starts with the heart. How's your heart? I'm not talking about the organ inside. How's your heart? Bible says, guard thy heart, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Say, well, Pastor, I don't know that I know my heart. May I answer that for you? You don't. I don't. Say, why do you say that? Because the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So sometimes people will say this, well, I just know their heart. No, you don't. And I don't know your heart. But here is an awesome thought. God our Father knows our heart. Now let me ask you, when he sees your heart this morning, does he see a heart that is right with him? With Saul, he found a man whose heart was not right with him. But with David, he found a man who was after his own heart. In fact, I want to show you just how strong this passion for God was in the life of David. And then we'll wrap this up this morning. Go with me to the book of Psalms, would you? The book of Psalms, and look in Psalm 63. Psalm 63, and I want to start right with verse number 1 when you get there. What you're going to see in this psalm, particularly the first 8 verses of this chapter, is that here is a man who had a strong drive, a strong passion, a strong heart for God. Now be careful this morning that when you look at Bible characters that you don't put them up on such of a plane that you think, well, I can't identify with that. They're way beyond me. Truth of the matter is, they're made out of the same clay you and I are made out of. And in response to that then, David did have weak moments. David, there were times when he sinned against God, yes. But overall, in the life of David, this is what was true of him. I want it to be true of me, and I want it to be true of you. Look what he says in verse number 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. He's saying, God, I want to know you. God, I have a passion for you. Everything about me, my flesh, my heart, my soul, everything about me is so crying out, God, I want you in my life. God, I want to know you more. What did he want to see? Verse 2, I want to see your power. I want to see your glory, so as I've seen before in the sanctuary. Again, that's Old Testament thinking, but back in that day, David spent a lot of time in the sanctuary, in the presence of the Lord, but when he was driven out of his city because of his own son rebelling against him, he was driven out into the wilderness. And so he's now remembering, oh God, I want to see your power, I want to see your glory like I saw in the sanctuary. Continue to read verse number 3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Now drop down to verse number 8. My soul followeth hard after thee. There is a man after God's own heart. There is a person whose heart was captured by God, where he could come to a point and said, my soul follows hard after God. I've never hunted with a dog. Some of you men have. But I've seen a few shows and guys going out hunting and some of them with their dogs. It's very interesting to watch these dogs, either they're going duck hunting or rabbit hunting, to see those dogs set loose on the trail and how that they get on that trail and they follow hard. They pick up on the scent and they follow hard after that animal until the hunter is able to get it. That's what David is saying here. He says, my heart is so hungry for God. I pursue this with all of my strength, with all of my heart, with all of my soul, everything about me. God has captured my heart. And no wonder then God penned in his word, here is a man after my own heart. So has God captured your heart this morning? If so, you will walk with God faithfully. You'll love his word. You'll live it out. You will wait patiently on him. And you will witness to God truthfully. Because God desires truth in our hearts. I want everyone to look this way. I want to close with a true story that fits into all of this morning. There was a very unusual military funeral in California in December of 2013. Sergeant First Class Joseph Gant, who fought in both World War II and the Korean War, was laid to rest. He had been captured in Korea in 1950 and died the following year. But his body was not returned for many years, and his death was never confirmed by the North Koreans. His wife, Clara, waited for decades for her husband to come back. She regularly went to meetings with government officials seeking information about what had happened. Clara even bought a house and had it professionally landscaped so all Joseph would have to do when he came home was just go fishing. She's 94 years old when his remains were finally brought home for a military funeral with full honors. It really wasn't the homecoming she had dreamed of, but she finally knew his fate. Clara had a interview and told the reporter the following. He told me if anything happened to him, he wanted me to remarry. And I told him, oh no, no. And here I am, still his wife, and I'm going to remain his wife until the Lord calls me home. You see, Clara's heart was captured by Sergeant First Class Joseph Gant. And when our heart is captured by God, we'll have no desire for the world because he has our heart. Does he have your heart today? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. As you've heard the message this morning, I ask you this. Has God captured your heart? Again, try to be careful not to measure your life by David, but let me ask you again, has God captured your heart? Are you walking faithfully with him? Are you spending time with him daily? Has God captured your heart, and are you waiting patiently on him? And has God captured your heart, and are you this morning in a place where you are being truthful before God? He desires truth in your heart. Has God captured your heart? You see, I know one of the things I don't ever want God and my Savior Jesus Christ ever be. I don't want him just to be a part of my life. I want him to be my life. That was true of another character in the Bible where the Bible said this, when Christ, who is our life. That's how Paul lived out his life. He said, Christ is my life. Is Christ your life this morning? Has God captured your heart? I wonder this morning, there'll be those here who say, Pastor, I want to get into a place in my life spiritually where God has captured my heart, and that I love him as Jesus taught us, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my mind. I'm not there, but I want to get there. And I would that you remember me in prayer this morning, that that will be realized in my life in the days and months and years ahead, that God will have my heart. If that's you this morning with your heads bowed, just raise your hand right where you're at. Say, yes, Pastor, that's where I want to be. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Yes, yes, yes. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Put your hands down. Are there others? Yes, God bless you. Are there any others? Say, Pastor, I want God to have all of me there is to have. I want him to have my heart. I want to love him. Yes, God bless you, sir. Anybody else? Yes, God bless you, ma'am. Yes, God bless you. God's speaking to hearts this morning. Are there others? In just a moment, our pianist will begin to play that old song, All to Jesus, I Surrender, All to Him, I Freely Give. Here is my challenge to you this morning. Do one of two things. Either kneel at your chair or come and kneel here this morning and just say, Lord, today I want this to be a starting point in my life, where you begin to capture my heart, where you have me lock, stock, and barrel. I want you to just have me completely. And like David, you'll experience some great mountaintop victories. You'll also experience some valleys. God didn't promise an easy way, but he wants us to have a starting point where we say, today, here on September 1st, 2019, I kneel before you. Take my heart, take my life. Capture my heart. Won't you come? Don't worry about what others think. You come this morning. Now, Father, help people to be obedient to you. Help us to have hearts that are captured by you, loving you with all of our heart, all of our strength, all of our mind. Capture our hearts. If just half of us in Calvary Baptist Church family could get to this place, it would revolutionize not only our personal lives, but our church life. So help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.